Welcome to the Poem of the Week. As you know, poems are patient-oriented evidence that matters. Each week, our poem is intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes, and he is joined by InfoPoem's senior editor, Dr. Mark Abell. Gentlemen.
Good day, Mark. How are you doing?
Doing fine.
But we are just shy of another course and thought that it would give listeners a last chance to register if they want to or are able to come to Baltimore.
Yeah, just outside of Baltimore. It's called Turf Valley. It's a golf resort. And the Maryland Academy of Family Physicians is sponsoring their annual summer update course. And we're the two of the faculty. And we're going to be joined by John Hickner from Cleveland Clinic and Gary Frenchick from Michigan State. Two guys we've taught with a lot, and we're going to be going over all the poems for the last couple of years that you guys ought to know about. So I think it's June 21st through 23rd. If you go to the Maryland Academy of Family Physicians website, you can learn more about it.
Excellent. And it's always fun. I mean, it's a great opportunity. The courses are on the small side. They tend to be very interactive. Hopefully we'll see some of you folks there. This week's poem looks at a common cause of mortality, which is stroke, specifically ischemic strokes, and most ischemic strokes are due to cardioembolism, large vessel, atherothromboembolism, or small vessel occlusive disease. You know, it is important to understand that many ischemic strokes occur without any well-defined etiology, and in the lingo of strokeologists, these are called cryptogenic strokes. So a cryptogenic stroke is a stroke of undetermined origin. It's a brain infarction, if you will, without a specific cause. There have been a lot of large epidemiologic studies. They've consistently reported that these cryptogenic strokes account for, you know, about a third, 30 to 40% of ischemic strokes. We know a little bit about some demographic factors. The risk of cryptogenic stroke is higher in blacks and Latinos than it is in Caucasians. There is no association found between age or gender. There have been a couple of transesophageal echo studies. The one that I'm most familiar with was about 300 patients looking at people with cryptogenic stroke and found that racial differences accounted for some observed differences in cause. For example, blacks were less likely to have a potential source, for example, a patent foramen ovale or atrial septal aneurysm, than whites were, but they were more likely to have left ventricular hypertrophy. So going back to this patent foramen ovale, the emboli from the right side of the atrium are hypothesized to actually go over through this hole or conduit into the left atrium and then cause an emboli. In theory, closing the hole reduces the problem. Well, this week, Mark found an article published in the New England Journal of Medicine. It asks a very interesting question, which is closure of a patent foramen ovale more effective than medical therapy for patients with a cryptogenic stroke or a transischemic attack? Mark, what did the group find?
Well, yeah, this is this study was sponsored by the folks that make the gizmo that they use to close off this patent foramen ovale in adults who've had a cryptogenic stroke. And, you know, like you said, the theory is that these emboli can go from the right to the left atrium and then into the brain. And hopefully someone who's had one of these cryptogenic strokes and who has a PFO, maybe closing it will reduce the risk of a second stroke. So they found adults 18 to 60 years old who'd had a stroke or a TIA in the past 6 months and who had no AFib or no carotid artery stenosis. They all had an abnormal bubble study, which is where they have these little tiny air bubbles, and they watch the air bubbles flow across the PFO, and they show that it's a hemodynamically significant PFO. So about 3 out of 4 had a stroke as their index event, and they were randomized to get either medical therapy or percutaneous closure using the sponsor of the study's device. And those who got the device also got a combination of Plavix and aspirin for 6 months, and then they got low-dose aspirin for another 18 months after that. So they were actually getting antiplatelet therapy as well as this PFO device. The folks in the medical group, their doctor could choose what they got, whether they got aspirin, which 252 got, or warfarin, which 111 got, or both, which 40 got. I probably wouldn't recommend both. That's generally not a good combination in terms of benefits and harms. The groups were similar. The analysis, attention to treat, which is all good. So of the 447 who were randomized to the closure group, about 70% successfully underwent the procedure. In some cases, it was unsuccessful. In some cases, the patients bailed out, but 70% got the therapy. Of the 460 who are randomized to medical therapy, 93% got either aspirin or warfarin. And they followed the folks for a couple of years, and basically there was no significant difference between groups in a composite outcome that consisted of stroke or TIA or early death or a neurologic death. They tried to break it down by whether they'd had an initial stroke or a TIA or by the type of medical therapy or by the size of the shunt, and they didn't see any patterns in the data, even after doing a little bit of digging around. So basically, for cryptogenic stroke, the closure of a PFO doesn't appear to provide any significant advantage over medical therapy with either aspirin or warfarin.
There are two observations. One is that, you know, perhaps they didn't follow these folks long enough. It was only a couple of years. But again, another study where it looks like something, doing something to someone that makes intuitive sense, there's a hole and bad things go through the hole, let's close the hole, may not be as good as just providing them with medical therapy.
Well, it's certainly no worse. And, you know, that you could say, you know, that I think from the other side, you could argue, well, you know, these folks, they don't have to take warfarin the rest of their lives, which is, you know, the harms of warfarin, if that's what you choose to take, continue. And so these folks theoretically could just take low-dose aspirin, you know, subsequently. And I agree. I think it would be interesting to see what this looks like 5 years out or 10 years out. But at least after 2 years, they didn't see any significant benefit.
Excellent. Excellent point, though.
In our local paper, there was an article about that a cardiologist contacted the paper telling him how wonderful this therapy was for closing patent foramen ovale. And it came out the same week as the New England Journal article. So I think they were doing some damage control. I don't know who stimulated that, but I thought that was pretty interesting. And, you know, I think it's probably remains an option. And it's just not obviously better than just using aspirin or warfarin. I think that you have to discuss those options with the patient.
Good poem. We'll talk with you again next week, Mark. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Mike.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to look at this and other recent poems, please go to www.infopoems.com. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.